97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans and Scotty live here at Tim Daly Infinity. Come by, hang out with us, 4594 South State Street. We'll kick off our NFL preview show coming up next. Eric Weddle will join us for a full hour coming up from 12 to 1 right here on the Zone Sports Network. But time to talk a little college football on the T-Mobile special guest line. One of the best in college football in terms of reporting and insight and breaking news. Brett McMurphy, kind enough to join us from the Stadium Network. Brett, how are you?
Hello, Brett.
Hey, how are you guys doing? Good morning.
We're doing well. Hans and I get asked all the time what it's like working, you know, doing the sports radio thing. And we say there's a lot of days where it's just kind of the same old, and then there's every now and then you get a day where all heck breaks loose. I'd say from your perspective, yesterday was one of those days, was it not?
It seems like the last 2 months has been like that, because there's just so many things changing on the college football landscape. But, yeah, certainly the official news that the Big Ten was going to be playing, and then, John Wilner's report about the Pac-12 looking like they can be maybe back on the field this fall. And then Larry Scott, you know, also said that he hopes that they can get back playing. And then I reported last night, sources told me the Mountain West is aggressively pushing to play this fall. So, yeah, it was not a slow news day by any means.
Brett, I really want you to help make some sense of the Big Ten and their original statement of we will not readdress the season. And then getting themselves to this point of, well, we're going to beat the Pac-12 back to coming back, and we're going to be ready for the college football playoffs. What happened in between that statement and now that made it so quick to get back and try to be back to play?
Well, I think it certainly was a mistake to say, you know, we will not revisit this and be that direct with it, because certainly – you know, one constant that we've seen during the pandemic is there's the uncertainty with everything. You know, something that looks 100% one day, a couple of days later, is totally inaccurate, totally false, it totally changes. So I don't think they were necessarily trying to beat the Pac-12 back to come back and play. I think the most important thing was they were trying to come back and play and then be a part of the playoff. And to do that, you know, they would have to start either October 17th or 24th. They don't think they can get going on the 17th, so they'll start the 24th, or actually Friday the 23rd. And then they're going to try to play 8 games in 8 weeks, and then a ninth game with the championship game to give their teams, most of it will be Ohio State, a shot at getting to the playoffs. I think the biggest thing is that the rapid testing, daily rapid testing that you've a lot of people have talked about, you guys have probably referenced it, I think is that made the biggest impact. Obviously, money is a big part of it, but look, the Big Ten decided to postpone the season last month, so they knew the money that they were going to lose. So it wasn't all of a sudden that they thought, hey, you know what, we need to play because we're going to lose money. They knew that back in August. So I really do think the testing differences was a big deal, because now, you know, I think we're up to 12 or 13 FBS games that have been postponed or canceled, and mainly because of contact tracing. And basically what that is if you have two or three guys test positive, any individuals that they've been in contact with also have to be quarantined for a long period of time. And that's Charlotte today canceled Saturday's game at North Carolina, because they didn't have enough offensive linemen because of the contact tracing. When you can test daily, if a couple guys test positive, you test everybody and find out exactly who tests positive or not, and you don't have to quarantine, you know, a dozen players because they were in contact with somebody that was positive if they test negative.
Brett McMurphy, kind enough to join us here on the Zone Sports Network. Out here, I know Larry Scott gets roughed up a little bit, but I'll just ask you point blank, if the Big Ten doesn't make their announcement yesterday and they stay firm, do the Pac-12 stay firm as well and they don't play in the fall?
I don't think so. I mean, the biggest, again, the Pac-12, and you guys know this, I mean, I'm in Florida, you guys know this better than I do, but there's so many different challenges for the Pac-12 with state and local governments. I mean, I still don't understand why the California schools weren't allowed to practice when Governor Newsom said, well, no, they can practice. So for the longest time, the Colorado schools were not practicing because they believed that's what the government officials, what the law was, when in fact either it wasn't or there was a clarification or whatever happened. So that's not a Larry Scott issue. That's, you know, that's just the hand you're dealt. Oregon in a similar situation. So look, if these guys can practice, if they can be in groups of more than 10 people and moving forward, I think they can play too. Again, the Pac-12 was the first conference to come out with a plan to test daily. And again, that's, you know, you hear it thrown around a lot of game changer, but it really is. But they couldn't do anything with it because their governments were not allowing their college teams on campus to practice. So, you know, look, Larry's it takes a lot of shots. He's an easy pinata. But this time, I don't believe that he was at fault. And also, keep in mind, the presidents are the ones that voted not to play in the fall, in the Big Ten and the Pac-12 and the Mountain West and the Mid-American. It is not the commissioners. It's easy to blame the commissioners. They do not have a vote. They do what the presidents tell them to do. And so that's where we're at with those leagues.
Right, you had mentioned with this kind of more rapid testing, the everyday testing. Are we talking about 7 days a week that the Big Ten and Pac-12 are going to be using these tests at between $20 to $23, I think it was, per test that was reported?
Yeah, I've seen different numbers and different amounts. You know, certainly like anything else, you know, the longer it goes, I would think the more inexpensive it would get. For everybody, the Big Ten announced that they would pay for the test for all the conference members. Certainly that's an advantage that the Big Ten has over, you know, say the Mountain West or the MAC, more resources, more finances. So I think that's some of the difficulties that the smaller leagues are facing. But yeah, obviously cost is a big issue. But you know, it basically boils down to, you know, do you want to, if you can spend, you know, $100 to make, you know, $150 long term, then you're gonna pay for those tests. So, I would expect that, you know, as there's more competition on the market, that those prices would come down. And that's, you know, look, we're talking specifically about college football, but that's obviously good news for everybody. You know, the more accurate information we can have out there as far as these positives and those sort of things.
You know, talking on the Mountain West Conference, I know they're still dealing with the issues that the Pac-12 is with Fresno State and San Jose State and San Diego State. How, in your conversations with sources close to that conference, how optimistic do you think that they'll be able to get back and playing in the fall?
For the Mountain West, I mean, they've got a number of schools in California, so that's going to be a challenge. But with the news from Governor Newsom, maybe that there's some clarity on that front. The one thing that's, I think, different from the Mountain West than from the other leagues is that sources told me that, you know, even if all 12 members cannot play, that the league would then still go ahead and play. So the most likely candidates that may not be able to play, I mean, Hawaii, obviously, unique situation they're in. And then also Fresno State. I don't believe they've even had kids back on campus yet. And then possibly Air Force. They've got a unique situation there where I know the NCAA announced that you don't lose a year of eligibility this year as far as any student athletes. But I believe, again, I'm not 100% on this, but I believe the military academies, that does not go into effect, so you don't gain an extra year of eligibility if you're at a military school. So that may be an issue or challenge to Air Force. So you know, again, everything's new. Everybody's kind of figuring this out as we go. But again, if it can be safe and there's somehow to get in a shortened season, because look, that's what everybody's going to do. You know, the Mountain West would like to go forward. Again, the same timetable around the Big Ten. Maybe they start October 24th. Maybe they don't start till Halloween the following week. But they would do what they can to get in seven or eight games. And then be eligible for a New Year's Six game. And obviously there's a financial incentive there, being a part of the college football playoff money distribution that all 10 conferences, you know, receive each year.
You know, Brad, at this point, we've seen so many different conferences and presidents and teams and sports waffle kind of back and forth. You know, we were just talking about the one saying we will not revisit, and then they did revisit. Is there any chance that if all five power conferences do play and the Mountain West Conference gets back in here in October and they start to move forward, because of the nightmare and the logistics of giving that extra year of eligibility, is there any chance that they recant and come back and say, yeah, we're taking that eligibility thing away?
Hey, you know what? You summed it up best. We've seen everything change and flip-flop or whatever, so you cannot definitively say anything these days. But no, the fact that they've come out and said that, you know, even if everybody comes in and gets in these seasons, I don't think they would come back and do that. Because look, nobody's going to play a full 12-game season. That's already known. So we're looking at some conferences maybe only playing 8 games, maybe as few as 7 games, and that's before some postponements or cancellations. So, you know, look, I know how the NCAA's how they're viewed as the bad guy, the villain wearing a black hat, but yeah, that would even be of epic proportions if the NCAA decided to go back on their, hey, you know what, you don't get that year of eligibility, we're going to change that. So no, again, everything has changed this year, but I think that's one thing I think we can safely say they would not reverse course on.
Do you believe the NCAA will be a little bit more lenient on guys that opted out when they felt like their teams weren't going to play and now want to opt back in? Do you think they'll be a little bit more lenient on making those guys eligible instead of making them, you know, jump through a bunch of hoops to try to get back out on the field?
Well, that's certainly a big question, because again, you know, that now you get into eligibility issues. It's not necessarily opting out. You can say you're opting out. It's just, did you sign with an agent? Did you accept any money? Those sort of things. So I think they would work with those individuals to allow them to play, because, again, you know, and I know there's been some, you know, surprise, there's lawyers on Twitter tweeting. But basically saying, you know, look, the Big Ten commissioner in the official statement, like you guys mentioned, said, we will not revisit it. So they basically said there will not be a season. So that's why these guys opted out. That's why they signed with an agent. That's why they accepted a signing bonus, et cetera, et cetera. So you would think, again, a common sense rule here, that because they were going based on the information they were given by their conference, that's why they did it, that they would allow them to opt back in, if you will. But certainly they would have to have some issues as far as money accepted or agents signed with, and they would have to clear that up. Again, I would think the NCAA would work with these individuals because this is a unique year, and I don't think you cannot say, well, we've never done this before, because that excuse or that reasoning does not fly. So hopefully they'll work with them. I think they will, but there's nothing official yet on the NCAA front as far as how they're going to deal with those guys.
As this thing continues to come together, Brett, and you're just looking now at the top 25, some of the top performers, and you know who stepped away from some of these programs, who do you think will be the top five, top six teams in the country as this thing really shapes up?
Oh, wow, I'm trying to think. So I vote in the AP poll. So our first rankings, we were to include all 130 teams. And then the second ranking, we were not to include the Big Ten or Pac-12. So obviously a lot of change. I had Clemson number one. I think they're you know, they have the best chance to get the college football playoff of any team, the easiest road. I think Ohio State is one of the top four teams in the country. I would put Alabama again up there in the top four. And I think Oklahoma and maybe Texas is a dark horse, or Florida is a dark horse for that fourth spot. You know, certainly if the Pac-12 can get going in time to get in the playoff. I really, really like Oregon. And but again, they had a lot of guys opt out. You know, are those guys going to come back? That's some unknowns right now. But it's the usual suspects: Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and then after that, I would take a mix of Oregon, Florida, Texas, or Oklahoma along those lines.
Brett McMurphy, kind enough to join us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. It was funny yesterday hearing Ed Orgeron say, well, you know, most of our players have already caught COVID-19. I was wondering if there was ever going to be any fallout or if people were going to have any issues, but with him saying that. But it seems like there's probably a lot of teams across the country that the virus has probably gone through their locker room on a pretty significant basis. Were you surprised that he admitted that and kind of in a nonchalant way?
Yeah, I think he was too honest. And I've talked to people, you know, coaches and ADs, and there are some, I don't want to name names, but they do believe that there are some schools that were kind of using the herd immunity strategy. And this was, you know, several weeks ago, where once you got the virus, you know, you would not be tested again for another, I think it was 3 or 4 weeks or whatever. So it was almost like, let's get it now and get it out of the way so we can go ahead and play. Again, that's, you know, everyone's got a conspiracy theory involving college football, no matter what you're talking about. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you would have to ask the individual players. I certainly would be shocked if a college football staff encouraged their players to get the virus, to get it out of the way. But again, knowing college kids, I would not put it past, you know, some athletes saying, hey, you know, look, just reading the tea leaves and saying, hey, look at this. If we get it now, then we're good for the rest of the year. Let's get it out of the way. And we'll take the chances on any long-term impacts because we're bulletproof, we're young, we're healthy, you're in that mindset. So I don't think college coaches do a lot of shady things sometimes. Again, they're not all like that. Some of them are. Most of them, I think, aren't. But I would be surprised if any coach, you know, encouraged his players to catch the virus, to kind of get it out of the way so they could move on the rest of the year.
Hey, Brett, we saw this We Are United front right as COVID was hitting and things were really starting to heat up. Are we just going to see the We Are Not United really anymore front? Like, what does do they speak up anymore, or did college football players learn their lesson? What happens here?
You know, I don't know. That's a great question. And, you know, I think, you know, the Big Ten players did that, the Pac-12 players. I think some other leagues did it also. You know, there were some of the things that they're seeking are very reasonable and attainable. But then, you know, for instance, the Pac-12, when the first thing out of the gate, they're like, we want 50% of the revenues. Well, they're just like anyone involved with the Pac-12, when they read that and they read that line, right, they just stop even considering it. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is not the NFL. This is not Major League Baseball. You know, you're not going to get 50, half of the revenue. So that's a non-starter right there. So, you know, hopefully, you know, the organizations that are doing this will get good guidance, and, you know, hopefully some good things will come out of this that will benefit the student athletes, because there certainly are a lot of areas that they should have, be in better situations with. But, you know, demanding half of the revenue, look, that's never going to happen. And if you say, if we don't get that, we're not going to play, well, then, you know, hopefully you got a good remote, because you'll be sitting at home watching everybody else play.
Brett, always great information, man. We really appreciate your time. I know you're really busy, so thanks for making it happen for us, and I look forward to catching up to you here very soon.
Thanks, Brett.
You got it. Thank you.
Brett McMurphy joining us on the T-Mobile special guest line.